set our mind on God's interests. A third thing I want to say, we've seen about the strongholds in our mind that need thought life, that need to be brought down. We've seen about setting our mind on God's interests. And thirdly, I want to show you a verse in Colossians in chapter 3, where it says, we've got to set our mind on the things that are above. Set your mind, verse 2, Colossians 3, on the things that are above and not on the things that are on the earth. Similar to what we read in Romans 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world. So the New Testament does speak a lot about our mind not being set on the things that are on earth. And the reason given is, verse 3, if you have been raised up with Christ, verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1. If you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. The Holy Spirit expresses it in different ways. In Ephesians 2, it says, we've been raised up and seated in the heavenlies. So that's where my mind has got to start thinking in those terms. Since positionally in Christ, God has already placed me. Physically, one day I'll be there in the future. But in my spirit, God's already raised me up. I've died with Christ. I've been buried with Christ. I've been raised up with Christ. I've ascended with Christ. I'm seated in the heavenly places, it says in Ephesians 2, in Christ. And therefore, my mind must look at everything from this heavenly standpoint. That is transformation. The Holy Spirit changing my way of thinking so that everything that happens around me in my life, I don't allow my mind wants to think of it, the natural tendency is to think of it like everybody else in the world would think, but to discipline myself, as the Holy Spirit says, allow me to change your way of thinking. It's tremendous. You know, in the beginning it's a battle. It's like learning swimming. The first day you jump into the pool, you struggle. But after a while, it's almost effortless. It's like learning to brush your teeth. Barbarian who's never brushed his teeth for 30 years, you try to teach him to brush his teeth. It takes a little while before he learns to do it. He may forget a few days. But then gradually, we don't forget. How is it we never forget? It's become a habit. It's something like that, you know. In the beginning, it's a struggle to discipline ourselves, to think, allow the Holy Spirit to make us think of a particular situation the way it would be if I'm really seated in the heavenly places physically. Oh, after some time, it becomes almost automatic that we begin to think. For example, if some bad news hits you, and as long as we live on this earth, what the world calls bad news anyway, it can happen any time to any of us, and particularly if you're in Christian work, there are all types of things that can happen unexpectedly. One of the things that's really helped me is to say to myself in such a situation, well, Lord, that's a surprise to me. I never expected that to happen. But it wasn't a surprise to you. And God knew ages ago that that was going to happen on this particular day to this favorite child of His. That's me. And you. Not just me. God knew that. And yet He allowed it. Must be with a wonderful purpose. And say, well, Lord, I don't see yet what that purpose is, but there must be some wonderful purpose. It brings our mind to rest. That's the way to be free from anxiety and tension and panic. And imagine if over a period of time, as we allow the Holy Spirit to change our whole way we look at things, we're looking at it from a heavenly perspective. Can you imagine the rest that it will bring into our lives over a period of time? no matter what news we get. I say, well, God's still in control. Is there anything that can happen? I mean, right now when things are going smoothly, we know we have the right answer. God's in control. He knows everything that's going on. And there's nothing outside of His control. But that's true even when things go wrong. He's still in, okay, as far as the world's concerned, it says something is wrong here. But God is in control then. It's still true that the devil was defeated on the cross 2,000 years ago. But sometimes we have to remind ourselves of that. And I find it's helpful to remind myself and ask myself, who's in control now of this universe, right now, when this terrible thing has happened? God's still in control. The devil was still defeated on the cross. It's good to remind ourselves of these facts. I find I need to remind myself of these facts when sometimes casting out demons from people. Sometimes a demon-possessed person unexpectedly you come across such a person and he looks at me in such a terrifying way with his fierce eyes and it almost puts a scare into you. And the thing that I ask myself at that time is, was this one of the demons that escaped on Calvary or was this also defeated? Just to reassure myself. I say, no demon escaped on Calvary. They were all defeated. Then I can look fiercely back into his or her eyes and say, you were defeated, Satan, on the cross. Get out of her in Jesus' name. And goes. Fear is the opposite of faith. And the devil tries to bring fear into our hearts by allowing us at that moment to forget certain eternal realities. God is on the throne. The devil was defeated on the cross. That my sins are all forgiven. That I'm a favorite child of God. I love to think of that. You know, I love that word which John uses to describe himself. The disciple whom Jesus loved. Have you ever thought of yourself like that? I've begun to think of myself more and more like that. Not the disciple who loves Jesus. I mean, I hope I do. I want to. But the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's easier to believe. And it's so comforting. I'm one of those favorite children of God. And that's why the lines have fallen unto me in goodly places. My heritage is very pleasant. And everything goes well for me. It's why my heart is always at rest. Because I'm one of those favorite children of God. In fact, Jesus said that John 17:23, he said, you must live your life, and let me paraphrase, you must live your life in such a way that the world should know that the Father loves you like He loved Jesus. That means my whole way of life must be such that people wonder, how does this fellow live like that? I shall tell you, I'm a favorite child of God. I'm a disciple whom Jesus loves. That's why. That's why life is so wonderful for me. That's why I can be at rest and not be in a panic like all the rest of you are. I'm not talking about you. No. Don't misunderstand me. I wasn't talking about you. I'm saying that's my reply to the worldly person. And that should be your reply to the worldly person too. That's how we are supposed to live our life. We're seated in the heavenly places in Christ and we look at circumstances and everything, God's in control. He's got, not only that, He's got a provision. He's got a plan in this thing that He's allowed in my life. And He's made a provision for it so that He's got a solution to that problem. I love to think of the fact that there was never a person who ever came to Jesus with a problem in the Gospels where Jesus didn't have a solution. Not even one. There was never a person who came to Jesus with a problem where Jesus had to scratch his head and say, boy, that's a tough one. I don't know how to handle that one. Not even one case. Every single case, He could solve it. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He may not always solve it the way I expect Him to. But He has a solution for everything. He knows the end from the beginning. And once my mind is set on these things, these eternal realities, these eternal facts. I believe that's the only way we're going to live in a life of rest in the coming days on this earth.